This is your captain speaking. As you can tell in the cabin, we're hitting some shaky times, and it's about to get worse. So please take a moment, make sure you are buckled, and the loved ones around you are buckled. Because we're about to hit turbulent truth. In 3, 2, 1.
I applaud because I have to.
Because I have to. We are back, and it's a new year.
It is. What is this year?
The year of Jesus is coming,
there
I think.
There you go. Thank you.
You think so?
Hereafter known as the year he came back. I'll tell you what, it's 2024, and I'm excited. It's a weird excitement. It's kind of like standing by a train track, knowing that there's one coming from there.
This is going to be a killer collision.
No
watch
see
this.
It. I can't stop looking at it.
Yeah. Oh.
So, and we know many of you feel the same.
Oh.
You know, if you pay attention at all, you know how crazy it is. And we do it for you, for those of you that don't want to do it. That's the show. I'm Gary Chapman.
I'm Scott Kutcher.
And this is Turbulent Truth. And we go through the turbulent truth and kind of digest the pieces of it that, quite frankly, we're directed to. We blame God. We blame God.
There's days we walk in and literally have nothing. And we go, hey, did you see? Hey, did you see? Hey, did you see? Hey, we got a show.
Oh, look at that. And this week, it was easy, quite frankly.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a lot.
I didn't see most of it. I didn't. I just knew that he was going to go through
it. I did.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to thank, I don't do this often, you know, but I want to thank Joe Biden.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to thank Joe Biden.
Because he gave you a lot of stuff to talk about?
No, man, his speech that he gave.
Oh, it's so accurate.
From arguably the most sacred ground in our country's history, Valley Forge.
Why?
He decided to take liberties, we'll say, with direct quotations of just founding fathers. And we were a republic, but not after Saturday. Now we're fully a democracy.
What, you know.
Because he said it. He said it. The president said it. It's kind of it's in stone, right?
He also doesn't understand where the exit to the stage most of the time is.
No,
so I don't,
he's not.
So the fact that he said it means jack crap. I'm a history guy. My wife is a huge history buff. And that's why my reaction was what it was. Because,
right.
Oh my gosh, stop trying to rewrite our history. We're a republic, you moron. And if you don't know that, get out of office. Just resign now, okay? If you don't even know that, you don't deserve to be in the office.
I'm not gonna argue.
Oh.
But speaking of history,
oh my gosh,
and lives, I had a social media post that I have to kind of confess to and share. It was barely mean.
What'd you do?
But
what'd you do?
Who wore it better? I posted. Okay. So you know, we've had a running joke. That's why I felt the liberty. In our previous broadcast domicile, we had some curtains that we needed to switch up because they looked like Joe. Maybe.
Well, could be.
Freudian. Jill Biden's dress is just kind of garish. And this one actually kind of looks a little bit like a fruitcake. I'm not sure what that is. But somebody put this together with Jill next to E.T., and I simply said, who wore it better? And the responses were hilarious.
Oof.
Hilarious, by the way.
You want to read a couple?
Sure.
So the thing is, I don't think it's the fruitcake the day of. I believe it's the day after.
Yeah, maybe.
Suddenly,
I want Reese's Pieces to celebrate this amazing meme. Oh, here's one. This is just awful and mean. To which I responded, you're right. E.T. deserves better. How do you write songs like My Father's Eyes and then post things like this? Solid question.
Well.
And my answer, it's easy. I'm honest. Are the drapes missing from our psychedelic room? Trick question. She's a shapeshifter.
I like that one.
Got to go with the younger looking one with the hat. It just went on. It just went on. Overall, it was not even close. E.T. wore it much
better. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Question. Without a doubt.
So he decides to make our Republican democracy.
Sure, yeah, a total democracy, as does every dictator in history, by the way.
See, this is not an accident. They
it's not an accident.
If you want a great news filter, just something you can just trigger as you ingest whatever you choose to ingest, use the word democracy. When they say the word democracy,
yeah,
9 times out of 10, they're not talking about the process of you know, 50 people vote and the guy that gets 26 wins.
No.
They're not talking about democracy and that kind of stuff. They're talking about a form of government, a country, when this is not what we have.
Nope. Because democracies can easily slip into dictatorships and have historically over time.
Senator Shaheen, I don't know if you know who she is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? She actually took the Benjamin Franklin quote, I believe it was Benjamin Franklin, when
not the famous one, about what'd you give us?
Yeah, well, who is it? Is that Jefferson?
It's Benjamin Franklin.
Okay, yes. You have a republic. If you can keep it.
The question is, can you keep it?
Yeah, the question is, can you keep it? She says, we have a democracy. Question is, can we keep it? They're blatantly interjecting the word democracy anywhere that the word republic historically belongs. And that's just wrong, brother. That's just completely...
Well, it literally fits their objective.
Yeah,
their objective is to brainwash our youth to be... intelligently stupid is my new phrase, because they are more educated than anybody in the world has ever been educated in the United States. I'm telling you right now, we have one of the most educated class of young people that are absolutely ignorant at the same time.
Sadly.
And it is very sad and very disheartening. And once in a while, I meet the ones that have both, and it's so encouraging because they are our future. The thing is these people want to say, oh, well, if we can make them ignorant and fired up and emotional about something that's not accurate, then we can control them. So all of you that want to be rebels, this is being rebels, just to let you know. Standing up for truth, looking for truth, not just ideology, not toting the line, whether it's right or left, but going, what is the truth? And when it's not truth or accurate, first making fun of it if we can.
Well,
I
mean,
I think you have to.
To disarm it.
And back to that person's comment, if we don't laugh, if he doesn't poke fun, we're in the funny farm. At the end of the day, we got humor, and that's one of the things God gave us, so we could process the insanity and inhumanity of this world.
See, I think you want me to be funny, because if I'm not funny, I probably will get mean.
Yeah, exactly right.
So this is the better option, trust me.
To me, that wasn't mean at all. That was just...
No, I mean, that's just... Well, I went to her page, and she's got some giant tells on her page that let me go, oh, this is not about me, is it?
No, it's never about you.
Anyway, sometimes it's about
it's
sometimes. So, but January 6th kind of came and went over the weekend. I got to know that they were furious that it fell on a Saturday.
Right?
It did limit their ability to milk it.
Well, and to inflate it into something it never really was. Yeah.
Sure. But there were some great responses. The best one that I saw, it was actually a rebroadcast after the last Republican debate on CNN. Vivek had a conversation with, I think her name's Dana Bash, the lady that... did you see that?
I did not see it, but someone told me I need to watch it.
This is worth it. This is worth it. If you're wondering what happened on January 6th, this is a reasonable synopsis. Make your own mind up, but here we go.
So let's start with January 6th.
Sure.
There is no evidence that it is an inside job. It was a fringe conspiracy theory that the Trump-appointed FBI director Christopher Wray has said explicitly over and over is just not true.
So let me... Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to address it. I was an anti-woke crusader leaving the business world, and if you had asked me 3 years ago, is there some chance January 6th is an inside job, I would have said that was crazy talk. I would say looking at the facts of the video footage that have come out, Dana, it is shocking that you still haven't gotten a clear answer of how many federal agents were in the field that day. Look at now the video footage of actually throwing explosives and rubber bullets into what was a peaceful crowd, then releasing to the public what came in response to that. But now look at the video footage that was released, and I'm glad we're talking about it because viewers deserve to look at that footage. Capitol Police literally letting people in who were then now prosecuted, some of whom have gone on to commit suicide because of what the government's doing. That is a case of entrapment, and I think the government has not been transparent about this, which is why I then brought up another case where the government, now 20 years later, with declassified documents, tells us that they lied to us at the time. And so I do think we have a government that's consistently lied to its people.
But an inside job suggests that everybody was who attacked the Capitol was part of
that. I didn't say that, but I was saying that there's entrapment going on. There's entrapment going on, and this looks like a case of entrapment. And if you look at even over the last day.
What do you mean by entrapment?
Entrapment means that the police goaded people to do something otherwise than they otherwise wouldn't have done, and then they arrest them for actually doing it.
And you don't think it was actually the former president who was trying to get people?
Well, I think that was the media narrative. Now look at actually a hard case.
We heard him with
our own ears. I'm going to ask you about a case and see what you think about this, right? You guys said this for a long time about the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping plot. Suddenly gone silent after it comes out at trial that absolutely that was a case of entrapment, which is why two of those people were acquitted. So I'm saying this as somebody who, on the other side of this, as a biotech CEO, somebody who was even anti-woke, but if I was looking at this, I would have said a lot of this is crazy talk. But if you actually get into the details, I think it is startling how much the government has systematically lied. And I think it's both parties over the course of the last 25 years.
But on the
January left used to be better 6th, pointing this out and being skeptical of the government,
the most,
but now it's the right.
Which is the most aggressive, offensive attack on the U.S. Capitol and on democracy itself that we have seen in our lifetime and in many, many lifetimes. To say without evidence that it was an inside
job. I'm not saying it without
dangerous.
Evidence. I think that what we're seeing now is the video footage that's come out. I was in a different place before a lot of that evidence came out. But you have to respond to the evidence. What is your response, or what is anybody else in CNN's response to the video footage that was released of Capitol Police literally just peacefully allowing people into the Capitol?
What we know
or shooting
is that
into peaceful crowds.
People that's, have been convicted of crimes.
But the reality is many of them were convicted before that information was released.
And do you think that former President Trump has anything to do with this?
No, because you're bringing up a really good point, and your audience and everybody deserves to know the truth about this.
So he's kind of a shotgun of content. Once he gets going, it's good. I don't think I've ever seen anybody speak more articulately, more quickly. It's a really wild thing. He gets more said in a little amount of time. Oh my gosh, it would take Joe a week and a half to say what he just said. And then it would be confusing.
With prompting cards?
Yeah, with teleprompter. But
oh, no, he can't read the teleprompter.
So on the heels of that being said, like a month ago, whenever the last Republican debate was, last night, Cassie and I watched the most recent Tucker Carlson episode.
Oh, yeah. I didn't catch it yet. That's on my
Clay
thing
Higgins,
to watch. Yeah.
Get ready.
Really?
He took what Vivek just said and puts facts, numbers, proof, evidence that will be introduced officially. He says conservatively, he's trying, because he's a former lawman, he's trying to everything that he presents, it's going to be bigger than what he presents, because that's just the way it should work, right? Minimum 200 FBI people involved in the process. They stationed them inside the Capitol, dressed as Trump supporters, so that when people walked in, when they led them in, a lot of them just say, here, come on.
Yeah.
There were guides waiting for them, dressed as one of them. Because I didn't know this, but he said something last night that I did not know, and Tucker confirmed. I've never walked into the U.S. Capitol.
Me either.
Certainly not on January 6th, for the record.
Yeah.
But apparently it's a labyrinth. If you're not familiar with the layout, to get to the chamber, to get to Nancy Pelosi's office, to get to the places which wound up being the focal point of a lot of the footage that they used to paint their narrative.
Yeah.
You can't get there. Clay Higgins, he said, I couldn't get there when I first I had somebody lead me around. He said, it's impossible. It's designed so that you can't just get in there and walk into the...
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, it's an amazing thing. And very few of the doors are marked, apparently. So, you know, some hallway or some stairwell that you need to go to get to where you want to... If you don't know where you're going, you don't get there. Not quickly, not easily.
Interesting.
Anyway, they had guides dressed as Trump supporters stationed in there. Come on, this way, this way, this way. Unbelievable. That's entrapment.
Yes, it is. Not only entrapment, but that is incitement.
It is.
More than anything else that was supposedly said in that process.
It's an amazing thing we're dealing with, folks, and it's going to be interesting and fun to just let it unfold.
You know, and to be open-minded and curious enough to go down that hole, that rabbit hole, whatever you want to call it, or to go down that path, I think it becomes more critical now than it's ever been. I'm trying to encourage my 18-year-old, look, yeah, you got a stance on something, but let's peel back that onion. Let's go on that path for a while. Mm-hmm. Let's truly seek truth in the process. Because if you're trying to defend a side, mm-hmm. no matter what side it is, that's when you get brainwashed. Yeah. That's when you can go down a wrong path according to perception. And as we all know, unfortunately, reality is our perception. So when we perceive something, it's our reality until truth is proven. And that's all we do on the show, is we pontificate, talk about these things. There's some things Gary brings up and I'm like, I don't know about that. And then it happens to be true. You know, some proof comes out and I go, wow. There's other things that he probably thinks the same about me. And it's more towards him because he likes to dig in and really go deep with it. And I love that. But at the same token, I think what the problem is, you've lived more life, and so
what are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say
I'm
that
old.
You're very seasoned, like a steak out in the sunlight for too long, but you're seasoned. No, but seriously, and because of that, you recognize good from evil pretty quickly. You're able to separate that, and your hope lies so much in Jesus because I'm just getting to know you that I think part of me still, I have to break some of that. I think we all do, where we're like, but I want to hold on to that little piece that humanity is good. No, we're not.
No.
We're just not. And
born bad.
And people go, well, they do good things. I get that, but we'll never be at the level we were called to be in the garden because we gave it up. We relinquished it. We went, I don't need it. And the minute we did that, we fell. And Jesus came and rectified it for us, but it means that we're never going to be as good.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, why even bother? Because it's in the struggle and the trial to become as good as Jesus or to become like Jesus as much as possible that you find hope in humanity again. You actually find it.
Well, yeah. If he's living in somebody's heart, I have faith in what he can do in them.
Exactly right. But I think that's the difference is I'm trying to cling on. That's why sometimes you go down these, you know, what people call conspiracy, and I'm like,
hello.
Okay, sure. Yeah. But then they end up being right. And it's because you're going after the truth like we both are, but you're not holding on to that fallacy. You've lived enough life to realize that it's a fallacy to hold on to. People are going to be our saviors in any way, shape, or form.
Well, the reason it is easy for me to do that is because as much as I would love to really, really be pissed at Adam for starting all this, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, probably.
I think back on how many forbidden apples that I have chosen to take a bite of.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
I probably would have.
Yep.
So, you know, I can't be mad at him. And I can feel the own weight of my own sin enough to know that I can't carry it. It's just too stinking heavy.
Yeah, it is.
And Jesus is the only way I have found to get rid of it.
It is.
And once you touch it, once you touch that truth, that's the only truth that's not turbulent. It's peaceful.
Mm.
It gives you a path. It gives you a way that is just covered in light. So you just keep walking in that light.
That's it.
But when that same truth comes in contact with darkness, it's turbulent. It is.
Oh, very. Because darkness doesn't like it.
The waves get large.
And that's when it gets fun. I'm sorry, but it does.
You know, the whole, let's go to the border for a minute because there was a lot of focus recently.
We're going to Taco Bell.
Mike Johnson, yes, we are.
Going to the border?
To the border.
To the border, okay.
Chalupa.
Okay, chalupa.
I don't even know if they serve that.
I don't think so. You're thinking authentic. It's not.
Last time I went to Taco Bell, it cost me.
Yeah, if I went anywhere, we would go to Pablo Real.
Yeah.
That's where I would go.
There you go.
Just saying. Endorsement. Phenomenal.
What do you get out of this?
Always trust the fat guy.
Or the Mexican. Go where the Mexican
Follow the Mexicans. Yes. Absolutely. Got a funny story about that on something else, but later.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So, Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson, who I am reluctantly, but consistently moving toward not approving of. It just makes me sad.
Because
he's an outspoken believer, conservative guy.
But it's about the fruits.
And he's measured, which is political speak for coward sometimes. And the way that he's handling the border thing, going down there for the photo op and, you know, that whole process, which was really, really degrading to one particular reporter, Ben Berquam. He asked them all assembled in front of the mics there, show of hands, how many of you will say, if you don't fix the border, we're going to shut down the government? It was actually a guy in like these wraparound shades. It was like, are you Secret Service or a congressman? Some dude I'd never heard of. He's like, we're not going to do a show of hands. This is not a classroom. Just so arrogant.
Of course.
And that arrogance is driven by cowardice. They won't take a stand.
No.
Because it's not that important to them, or they're bought and paid for by
the
corporations that want cheap labor.
There you go.
So, or the Democratic Party, quite frankly, that wants votes that they can count that don't exist. There is, however, one voice that's coming out of all this that really makes a lot of sense. You want to hear it?
I do.
AOC, who would have thought that Ocasio-Cortez would have come up with the way to deal with these millions by the end of his presidency, if he lives that long, 12 million illegals coming into our country, more than the population of your home state, which is the seventh most populous state in the country.
Yes.
More than Ohio.
Yep.
12 million plus. She's figured it out.
That's shocking.
Check this out.
Okay. Man.
Okay, so the sadness with what she's currently saying is that she's right.
What just happened? I feel like I'm like in the Twilight Zone.
Well, you gotta go another step though.
Oh, okay.
So she's saying, yes, they're here illegally. So let's just make them legal. That's not how it works.
Right.
Over two centuries now, we've had a situation in place, legal framework in place, that when someone wants to come to our country, we say, yes, here's the process. And it's a process. It takes years, many times.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are really in fear for your life, your government is oppressing you, there's some asylum things that were in place for a long time for people that were about to be killed if they stayed in their country. These people are all, we're allowing them to all claim that without any vetting whatsoever. Come on. We give them everything.
Yeah. And the reason I'm like, am I in the Twilight Zone? She got part of it right.
Yeah, she did.
She got part of it right. Because the truth is, I've got good friends that are legal and some that are still waiting for their families to become legal. 11 years is stupid. and our system is broken. Yeah. I don't care what anyone says.
No, it should be so much
That process is stupid. It's antiquated. It's broken. So she has part of it right. So the fact she even got part of it right, unreal. But how do you document then? Don't you have to have a central point of entry to know who's coming in so they can be documented? Doesn't that require, I don't know, something called a wall or a barrier or some type of, you know, I don't know, system to make sure they're coming? Like Ellis Island, I don't know. Wasn't there a place at one point?
There was.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But yeah, so, that where everyone had to come through that one place to be documented and become legal. Yeah. Huh, interesting.
You're going
to
love this. Yeah. Did you know that once you get into this country, which is very easy to do if you have legs, once you get
right now,
here, you're going to be flown somewhere, wherever wherever the cartel, I'm sorry, the government wants you to go. You're going to wind up there.
Yes.
And our tax dollars are going to obviously pay for that.
Oh, absolutely.
When you get to the airport, I don't know if you've seen this or not, it's the deal. When you get to TSA, there's like U.S. citizens or no documents. So if they're instructed to go out, just go in that line. They get on airplanes, ring a bell, they get on airplanes with zero documents. If they have to show something, guess what will work?
What?
Any arrest record.
Of course.
If they have a record of him being arrested, that will work. For documentation.
So if I get this straight, it's kind of reverse a monopoly. Yeah. You commit the crime, you do not pass go, and but you collect a free flight.
You do collect a free
flight. Okay, gotcha.
And you get $200.
Yeah. And don't go to jail.
Not at all.
At all.
No. It's just the way that they're twisting the facts and the argument is, it's maddening, I gotta say.
It is. No doubt about it. And they're good at it. They're so good at it. Yeah, good old political sciences.
Well, and then Nancy Pelosi. She made a lot of sense. Do you see her on the Sunday morning show?
I did not.
Okay, I'm still not sure what she said. Is she saying that everything the January 6th committee put together to indict President Trump came from the Republicans?
Have you ever gone home for holidays, right? And you go home and there's certain relatives you haven't seen in a really long time.
Oh.
Okay, and you sit down with them. I think I finally got, I just had an epiphany. I have to share with you.
You had a moment.
I did. Okay. And you're sitting down with them and you remember them as this very articulate, smart, intelligent individual, but it's been 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And they were older then. Now they're, how do you guys say it, a little long in the tooth?
A lot older.
Yeah, a little long in the tooth. Yeah, a lot older. And they start to reminisce on things that you actually were part of and were there. And their reminiscence wasn't even the way they told it the first time or the second time or the third time. It was some type of Twilight Zone-ish. I keep going back to that because that's what it feels like. Right. And this account of things that you go, well, I don't think that happened that way. And I'm not sure that happened that way. And I'm pretty... So here's the epiphany I had. Because we have very old people running our country.
Extremely old people.
That have been there way too long.
Way too long.
Their memories are failing, really even bad. In, you know, my mother. Ask her something about 1952 and she will rattle off, tell you what they were wearing, what happened. But ask her to find her keys. So recent events and them don't get along once they get to a certain age.
Well, in Nancy's defense,
oh my gosh,
so much of her
so limited, off,
so much of her limited brain power is used to count.
It's all the Botox.
The money that she made,
the Botox,
through the illegal stock investments.
Oh my gosh! Don't even go there.
On the legislation that she passed.
Yeah, well,
have you seen that list, by the way?
Oh, it's long.
Did you see the top of the list?
I did not.
Number two, coming in at number two.
Wow.
With a 128% return on his investment in the stock market. Representative Mark Green of this district. You guys have heard me say what I think about Mark.
Wow.
He says a lot of good stuff. He was down at the border. He literally, quote, he threatened to, quote, whip Mayorkas's ass because the Secretary of Homeland Security had done such a poor job. Granted, that's something you could sell tickets to and do well.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
To go down there and grandstand in front of the cameras and talk all tough, he's trying to cover up our attention from what he did with his money.
That's all this is.
It's 120. Did you make 128% on your investments last year? Anybody? Your retirement? Any fund that you might have? 128? Did you make 128?
No.
You made 128%.
The greatest investor, one of them in the world, is Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
He didn't make that.
No.
Not even close.
No.
So, yeah.
It's a tell.
It's a huge tell.
And I pray that it stays in the light when it's time for him to try to keep that seat. I want that to stay in the light. I want him to explain it in detail. What is your investment strategy? How are you so right so often?
Yeah.
How do you do it? It's brilliant.
You're the greatest day trader in history. It's so brilliant. Why are you even on public office?
Yeah. And why wouldn't you just share that information with all your constituents? We would have the richest district in the United States.
Hands down.
The district you represent would be the wealthiest by far if you would simply share your investment secrets with us.
Mm-hmm.
You're here to serve us, right? Mm-hmm. Serve them up, brother. Let's see it.
I think they replaced us with a different us.
It's a them.
Right.
They think it's us because it's them.
It's all about changing the pronouns.
Yes. It's all about pronouns.
Always.
Oh, my gosh. All right. We better lighten up and have some fun.
Lighten up.
Because there is some to be.
Lighten up, Francis.
The folks over at the Bee consistently
knock it out of the park.
Do what they do. This is a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Mavericks owner Mark Cuban makes good on DEI promise by signing new power forward Peter Dinklage.
If y'all don't know who he is, he's one of the little people that are very famous in Hollywood.
He used to be a midget, but then he became a little person.
But he's a little person.
Midget became an improper word.
Yes.
Like white. What? What are you saying? I'm just trying to explain
what's going on. I prefer transparent.
Okay. Translucent.
Translucent.
Shiny in the summer.
Cracker.
That's just comedy. That's so good. We love Babylon Bee.
Yes.
And
this one.
This is a good one. Liberals praise Jeffrey Epstein for not discriminating against the disabled. Okay. So that's obviously Stephen Hawking, who was limited in his ability to move. Have you seen the series of when his name came out on the Epstein list, which was a giant, shiny object, let's face it. if and when they ever do anything with all those evil people that did what they clearly did to underage humans, sexually trafficking them, abusing them, all that, if and when they do that, trust me, we're going to be all about it. Until then, until they really come out with something that has weight,
yeah,
this is just to distract your attention away from, I don't know, 128% return on Mark Green's investment.
And the rest of them?
And everything else that's going on up there that you know good and well is darker than hell. Anyway.
Yeah.
The series of memes, my wife kind of got a collection of them.
Oh, she did.
I was going to show it, but it's just, it's too much. Like the lady that asked me that said, this is just mean. Why are you so mean? It would feel that way if I did it. But there's some great ones.
But we are going to share off camera.
Yes, sir. I'll show it all to you.
Oh, this has got to be one of my favorites,
our,
by the way.
Our old buddy, yes. Karen John Peter, Karine Jean-Pierre.
I think it's Jean-Pierre.
Says Biden, I don't speak French.
Jean-Pierre.
Says Biden has done more to preserve democracy than any other dictator in history.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Without a doubt.
Oh, wow. So this is one that I actually had to get my wife to explain to me because I didn't...
This next one?
I didn't know what...
I had no idea what was going on either.
When you say Stanley Cup to me...
That is hockey thing.
I think hockey.
Yes.
I think there's a big thing that matters a lot to people that love...
And I'm in. I'm like, let's watch this. Let's see what's up, right?
Apparently, the Target company, enough said, they designed a water cup container thing.
A tumbler, basically.
Tumbler, that they call. Three, and there was such a need to have one. It became like a status symbol. It's
no idea.
It's to carry your water in, okay?
I don't get it.
It's unbelievable.
I don't get it.
Three moms killed in massive brawl at Target over last Valentine's Day themed Stanley tumbler. Okay, it was a Valentine's Day thing. Okay, were they buying those?
They weren't really killed. It's a joke.
Here's the question. Yeah. Were they buying those for their husbands or themselves?
Themselves. What do you think?
Were they buying it for themselves and then giving it to the husband? This is what I want
for
Valentine's
There's Day? No husband that wants that bad to say, honey, you better go get me one.
I would have to...
Unless Stanley means a new set of tools for me.
That's what I thought Stanley was. Is it not? Did they not own that name? You're the brand guy. Can I suddenly start having a Stanley company?
Well, you can add something to the back of it that justifies it. So it can be Stanley drinkware. And that,
okay.
So the descriptor can make a difference.
Right. Okay. So Star Wars.
Yes.
I'm assuming you're a nerd fan. I was.
I like Star Wars.
Early on, big time.
Absolutely.
Very much into it. There's a new one in production that's coming out. I don't think it comes out to like 26 or something. Who knows?
Never knew my wife was a ninja.
Yes, she is.
A Jedi ninja.
So the director that they have hired is beyond women's rights. We'll say that, which we're for.
Very much so.
But... yeah, she wants men to be punished.
Well,
she literally in speeches that I've read and watched, she wants men to be uncomfortable with her work.
It's so angry.
Why?
I don't know.
And does she mean uncomfortable or does she want to hurt me?
She wants to hurt you.
Because nothing, I want women to be elevated.
But yeah, Jesus did more for women than anybody else in history.
Good grief, are you kidding? Anyway, here you go. New Star Wars film to feature female Jedi who turns to the dark side at the same time every month. Okay. I can see how women would not...
take out the trash.
Leave it to Babylon Bee to go there.
Yeah.
But they did it.
Oh,
they
yeah.
did it. I had a couple of things, actually... that I put on social media.
Mm.
I don't know if I did. I show you this one, the Bud Light thing with Dylan. What its name? I don't know. I forget now. I you know how I block stuff. I can't get past Dylan. What was dude's name?
Mulvaney.
Used to be a baby.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Used to be a boy baby. No, that kind of came and went, and they took a multi-billion dollar hit to their company.
Did you say billion?
Did a billion. All of a sudden, they've got a new spokesperson.
I know. I saw it too. Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Trying to remasculinize the brand.
And I posted, this was my photograph from Kroger, just said, no, Peyton, no. And brother, the responses on this, pretty overwhelming that Peyton screwed the pooch.
Yeah.
He did not make a good move. I'm sure they paid him a bunch of money.
Well, not just that, but they were probably, they pitched him on the whole thing. You can bring masculinity back to our brand, mm-hmm. blah, 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 and him being a man.
Nobody but you can do it because you're yeah. so elevated.
Yeah, exactly.
Guess what? Mm. Nobody's buying it, brother.
No.
No. It didn't work.
No.
So count your money because that's what you got out of it. But you lost a lot of fans. If you want them. You lost them. So, you know, people don't forget stuff. It is an amazing thing.
Things that are deep-rooted, things that matter to them most, they will never forget.
Then I had a friend send me this, and I had to post it. And it's getting kind of a large response. I actually just posted a few hours ago. But the whole global warming thing, climate change and all that, this summed it up for me. This made sense. And I just posted this and said, can't argue with science. It's evidence of global warming based on the size, the ever-shrinking size of women's underwear over the last 100 years. And it, you know what? That makes sense to me. That makes sense. The first climate change visual, science-based visual.
Oh, it was science-based, I'm
that
sure.
I could sink my teeth into. Or get my hands around, or...
Oh,
arms? Something. So, whatever. I could believe in, is what I'm trying to say poorly.
Oh, I love when we make Jesus laugh. Right now he is laughing.
Yes, he is. So there was a Charlie Kirk tweet. Because how do you tweet on X? Do you you exhale? Is it an exhale? Maybe that's what they should call it. Anyway.
You think too much.
This takes a second to read, but it is an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing.
Okay.
And it has really gained a bunch of steam. I'll just read it. It won't take that long.
Okay.
Charlie Kirk. Imagine being in President Trump's shoes for a moment on J6 as you get word the Capitol is getting swarmed. Okay?
Okay.
Put yourself there. You're President Trump.
Okay.
You were considered a near lock to be a two-term president in February of 2020. You delivered one of the best economies ever seen for 3 years before China unleashed a lab-grown virus on the planet. You warned states repeatedly of the dangers of mass mail-in voting, but Democrats forced the measures through anyways. You watched the election officials cave to COVID fear, mongering to relax election integrity measures, violating election laws and state constitutions. You witnessed 51, quote, intelligence officials collude with big tech to censor a bombshell story about a laptop that directly implicated Joe Biden. You campaigned tirelessly to sold-out arenas crisscrossing the country with historic enthusiasm. Your opponent is a two-time failed candidate disqualified for plagiarism who barely survived the primary and then barely left his basement during the campaign. You win 74,222,958 votes, more than any other presidential candidate has ever won. You learned that somehow 159,633,396 people voted, the largest turnout in U.S. history, breaking the previous record by 20 million votes, the first time more than 140 million people voted, and the highest percentage turnout in 120 years. You somehow lose by 42,000 votes in three states among a host of irregularities, drop box scandals, and controversies, and despite winning practically every bellwether county and state. You think back and remember they spied on your campaign, invented a fake Russia hoax, impeached you, and constantly smeared and lied about you in the media. You remember that you offered National Guard troops on January 6th, but the offer was denied by Nancy Pelosi and Muriel Bowser, mayor of D.C. You remember that you said just hours before to peacefully and patriotically march. You remember everything you'd given up in your previous life to be hated, attacked, and vilified by the DC snakes, insiders, and elitists. Your own VP just fist-bumped Nancy Pelosi inside the Capitol. You realize the entire DC cabal has conspired and plotted to hand the White House to a puppet they could control. Is it any wonder why Trump might have been a little bit upset on J6? He wasn't responsible for what happened, despite what the media says. It was 4 years of lying, cheating, and betrayal by those who wanted to get him at all costs. Nevertheless, he gathered himself and released a video telling people to go home, an act the illegitimate J6 committee tried to criminalize. Then they impeached him again. Despite all of it, he's decided to come back to retake the White House and finish what he started, a decision that provoked Biden's DOJ to indict him multiple times for 700 years in federal prison. From his perspective, I don't know how he doesn't just explode.
I know.
Dude, that's got to be a piece that passes understanding. Whether he fully knows where it's coming from, he's walking in it.
Yeah.
How else could he do that?
I know. I don't know.
How else could he just get up in the morning and go, no, I'm going to keep going?
Well, there's a difference between believing you should do something and feeling like you're called to do something.
That's true.
When you're called to do it, it does give you strength that you didn't think you had. It does give you fortitude that you never thought was there. I mean, it happens. Like him or hating, he's got fortitude like no one I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. All right. So there's a lot to talk about, as usual. And as usual, we're done.
Yeah.
Because you kind of get a saturation point after a while. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, I can't think about this stuff anymore. I need to go for a drive.
Pretty much.
Or just listen to some great music that'll take you somewhere good, which is what we'll do now. I'm not sure what it is yet, but...
But it's going to be yours, right?
It will be mine.
You said great music?
Well, it'll be reasonably good music. That's what I meant to say.
That's someone that
passable.
Can't... Yeah, someone that can't play anything.
It's passable is what it is.
States.
Dude, if you've been doing it for 60 years and you suck at it, you should quit.
Yeah. Well, you know... That's why us, you know, couch quarterbacks always want to say, hey, that was a little off. And this was a little
that
this.
Was, yeah, like, that was flat.
That was a little flat or that was a little pitchy or really? You okay, sure. What's your consistency level? But we do that in society as a whole.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
You know what? One more thing that I might interject here. You were at church yesterday.
I was there.
Our pastor is so good.
He's all right.
And so funny.
He's great.
That piece that he interjected about his cat destroyed me. I'm gonna play this little piece.
There you go.
At the end of our goodbye, and then we'll go into a song. But I want to introduce to you Darren Whitehead, the funniest preacher I currently know.
Yeah, currently, absolutely
believable.
It's pretty good.
I'm still Gary Chapman.
I'm still Scott Kutcher.
And this is Turbulent Truth.
Indeed.